You're listening to the Getting Smart podcast. I'm Rebecca Middles, and I'm excited for our conversation around learner agency and community design. Today, we're joined by two members of the Transcend Usable Knowledge team, Cynthia Leck and Yutsenia Kazmir Mirio. Welcome. Can you guys tell us a little bit about your role on the Usable Knowledge team?
Yeah, the Usable Knowledge team's goal is really to bring in existing knowledge to the design process that we engage in with schools and communities across the country. So we have a team of six awesome individuals who do a lot of reading and making knowledge that's out there accessible and actionable to folks who are on design teams, because there's just so much good knowledge out there. And sometimes it's really hard for schools to bring that all to bear in their process themselves.
I sit on the team with Cynthia, and a lot of the work that I do is reading and writing all day, learning from communities and synthesizing that into actionable resources for folks.
Within the community design process, I know that Transcend operates with a belief of focusing on existing knowledge and understanding. Can you share an overview of the approach you took to that community-based design in terms of your intentional framing?
Yeah, so I think we really view the school change or district transformation process as unique to each community. And so there's no real like one size fits all design that we are trying to spread in the US. We're such a diverse community in the US with these kind of sub communities, if you will. And we are trying to acknowledge that fact by balancing that there's a lot of great knowledge out there across the education space with the fact that communities have a lot of unique contextual knowledge that they could bring to bear too. So the Usable Knowledge team is all about surfacing knowledge from outside the community, from academic research, from other schools, from other organizations, and then making it really accessible so that the communities themselves can focus on bringing to bear the knowledge that they hold.
It's a wonderful equitable practice. I hear a lot of similarities about just personalized learning in general, but essentially you're meeting a community where they're at, and it sounds like honoring their strengths and then bringing in appropriate resources to co-design a future. What was the process for developing the primer around this and the accompanying resources? And were there any unexpected challenges or outcomes that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so the process we took was actually quite iterative. The version that we have on the website is actually our third version. And so it's had many different lives, thanks to all the knowledge that we've learned from folks and what we've read. We began by reading as much as we could on the topic. And I'll also add the note that like this resource does not seek to be a systematic review of the literature. Rather, we tried to read really intentionally and focus on questions that we felt were most important for the communities that were using it. And so I wanted to add that framing at the top. And so we began by reading as much as we could about agency, focusing on questions of like, why is it important to focus on agency? What enables it, and how can learning communities really support it? And so we spent a lot of our time digging into that content. And while we read, we also decided like, oh, there's so much to learn. We can be way more efficient with our time by speaking directly with communities and experts. And so we spoke with scholars, leaders at schools, leaders at different organizations to learn from them, but then also to put things in front of them and ask like, hey, what do you think about this? Does this conceptual framework make sense to you? What are we missing? Where are the gaps? And so we learned so much by putting things in front of people and gathering their feedback.
I hear a real attention to the collective efficacy of the community and ensuring that there's space for individual agency to show up. So I really appreciate that. It doesn't often get surfaced. Sometimes we'll talk about individualized learning and we just keep it there, but we don't talk about that greater piece of being part of a community and where that shows up and creating that. I really appreciate how Transcend is committed to defining agency in this way, and also the way that you and the resource made it really usable and accessible for others. What was the process used to create that definition, other than what you've shared here with schools? And after you've started that draft, you said it was three revisions, so maybe you could share a little bit about that, and perhaps even about the graphic that you landed on as well in this resource.
Yeah. So in the primer, and I'll speak specifically about how we revised many definitions. And so I can't even tell you what our first definition is, right? But the one that we landed on one is that I know very, very well. And so in the primer, we define agency as the ability to intentionally influence one's life and learning. And that agency entails like a continuous dynamic process of setting goals, making plans towards those goals, taking action, and then reflecting and revising along the way. And so in the primer, we call this the agentic cycle, right? And it could be a really helpful frame to think about how a person enacts agency. It's through a process. And so something that we want to name here is that these stages aren't rigid, right? They can happen in quick succession. They become more intuitive and informal as you practice agency. And so it might be helpful to anchor in a concrete example. Think about like a child playing, right? They might be playing with their blocks and they decide that they want to build a tower, right? That's their goal. They might look at their blocks and begin stacking them on top of each other, right? They're making a plan, they're taking action. And then stacking the blocks unevenly might lead this tower to fall down. They look at it, decide to stack them differently and to build their tower, right? And that's where they reflected and revised. And so we can be talking about agency as like a concrete, immediate goal, but it can also be really big, collective, large goals, like a community of learners wanting to create a library that has their stories in it. And that is something that, you know, a collective group works towards. And so we wanted our definition to kind of encompass both aspects of agency, both individual agency and collective agency.
And I can talk a little bit about the visualization of this, because I think one of the principles of the usable knowledge team is really trying to make information accessible. And honestly, everyone's so busy that sometimes the most accessible way to do so is through a very crisp visual. And so a lot of what Yutsenia just mentioned, we tried to show in a visual that was sort of layered, really starting with agency and its definition at the core or at the center of kind of this circular visual, and then building out from there. What process really builds and supports the idea of someone intentionally influencing their life and learning? So we surrounded that by the process Yutsenia is talking about. And then what drives that? What helps that process happen? And that's where we dug into things like your individual knowledge and skills, meaning your capacity, right? Your motivation. And then, of course, the supportive context, which is super important too. And then we also wanted to deliver in this visual that there's no single way of doing this. And so the final layer is a set of 10 practices that a community can look at and say, how can I configure these in an appropriate way for my learners, for their age? And of course, we were focused on K-2, but we imagine there's variations of those 10 practices that may be really suitable for adolescents, even for adults, honestly, for adult learners too. And so we took that layered approach. It also helped people build their knowledge of agency because we could kind of add each layer slowly over time and introduce the complexity, not all at once, but piece by piece after each member of the teams we were working with built that core understanding.
I saw that too. I love that. I was one of the... I know you had lots of people that got to review this early on, but I love that about the visual because I felt like the layers did represent in its own way a phased level of implementation and where to focus your energy. So many times I think teachers have so many things that come at them and you don't know quite where to start, but really being intentional about doing those pieces well and how that feeds into the next stage, really see that in your graphic. Thank you for calling that out. What are your beliefs around the key innovative practices teachers currently use or could use in their classrooms to grow learner agency? And which of those practices seem to yield the highest impact?
Yeah, so one thing that we want teachers to walk away with is that there's many, many ways to cultivate agency. We don't want people to see these 10 practices and think that they need to do all of them, right? They're here to act as inspiration, not a checklist. And so if that's the one takeaway you take from this, is that there's many ways to do it. And teachers oftentimes are already doing these things inside their classrooms, right? And that we want you to look at these practices and think about all the small shifts that you can make in your classroom practice to begin supporting and nurturing agency in early grades. And so high quality practices that we're talking about are things like play, nurturing a safe and trusting culture, being really intentional about supporting reflection and providing high quality feedback to your learners, offering, you know, many opportunities for deep self-directed work and for kids to actually use their agency inside the classroom. And so these are the types of high quality practices that we're talking about.
You are mostly highlighting some work I think that's not quite out there in the field enough, and that's that young learners, early stages of agency. Is there a practice that you think listeners would benefit from hearing that feels pretty different than what we're hearing in secondary contexts of how to support, you know, for teachers to support that practice to see growth in the area towards agency that you would think would be a great takeaway for people to hear of young learners?
I think that one of the most important things for young learners is to engage them in their own thinking process, right? And so the idea of metacognitive thinking, thinking about your own thinking, when you're really young, that may be a new practice. It may not be something that educators are engaging young learners in. And it is such a great place to start because there's just like very simple questions you can start asking learners about, you know, did you meet your goal today? What was your goal? How do you know that you met it? What could you do differently next time? How did it feel? What prevented you from getting as far as you wanted to today? And just having students start to verbalize the way that they were feeling during learning, it kind of sets them up to have more influence over that process, which is really what we're talking about here. And I think that is something that, you know, you can start as young as you want. Just asking students those questions about what they're thinking is really empowering. I think it's empowering for us as adults too, but it's something that doesn't require a lot of resources. It doesn't require a big setup. You can literally walk into your classroom tomorrow and start doing that with young people. And as a first step towards much bigger changes within your whole system, but it's a great place to start.
Yeah. And I want to add to what Cynthia was saying about how important it is actually to model those behaviors for young learners. Show your thinking out loud. Teachers in front of the classroom can begin to show their thought processes. If they make a mistake, talk through it, walk through it, and begin to show that so that when learners are encounter a different type of challenge on their own, they then can have those mental frames to begin thinking in that way.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. I was just thinking, I mean, since you've mentioned Lindsay, I know this work is pulled from lots of different places, but since you mentioned Lindsay, I think, you know, from being there in the past, I was always impressed with how visitors would really see the agency in young learners there and given that opportunity to talk about their learning in a way that was really, it answered almost all their questions that a lot of times visitors would have about the process and the learning model there and how that was really deeply ingrained into the culture. But what I hear you also talking about is when where they see themselves uniquely fitting into that culture too and really building that agency work about their passions, which I know Lindsay's really committed to. That next question that I had for you, you've touched on it with the metacognition piece, but maybe you could speak a little bit more also about how self-assessment or pre-assessment might contribute to this work. Let's say you're not in a Lindsay competency-based system, but you're really working to do more personalized learning. You're trying to meet learners where they're at. How does self-assessment and pre-assessment contribute to that work for agency?
There's more than one practice within those 10 that really focus on students doing a lot of hard work on their own, kind of making some choices and navigating the learning process. And it is important that we know what students are ready to handle themselves and what they may need more direct support around, because in those drivers of agency, we emphasize a supportive context where you have the opportunities to be an agent is important, but so is support, right? And so I think many of us have experienced that where you are given this opportunity to do something new, but it is so far above maybe what you have the skills and knowledge to do at that point in time that it feels really disempowering in many ways, and you may not want to keep going. I had that experience for myself in language classes where I just felt so beyond my readiness, and it actually caused me to just want to disengage, right? And so pre-assessment can prevent that in many ways by knowing where is the student at? The work that we're going to engage in over the next week, month, year, where are they at right now? So that I can ensure they have the scaffolds the partnership from other students, the support of an adult, so they can still engage in that work. We don't want to try to lower the level for students. We want to help students engage in challenging work and be an agent, but with the support that they need in whatever form that is. And so I think that's where pre-assessment is incredibly important. And then in terms of self-assessment and reflection, this is, again, this concept of students starting to build the thinking skills and the reflection skills and the metacognitive skills to understand themselves what they need. So it's not just always about an adult kind of assessing what a student might need, but a student being in that moment of learning and saying, hey, right now I need to walk over to that shelf and I need to grab this set of manipulatives to help me solve this math problem because it is really above what I'm ready for on my own right now. Or I'm going to walk over to my peer and ask them a question in order to give myself that little boost I need.
Do you have any closing thoughts to share or ideas about where our listeners could find out more? We'll also put some links in the show notes, but anything else to add?
Yeah, first key point that we want our listeners to kind of walk away with is that there's no single definition of agency. And so school systems seeking to kind of shift towards more agency-rich learning should really take time to understand how your community defines agency and co-create a vision towards that definition. And so that's just like one piece that we want to offer. The second point that I want listeners to walk away with is that there's many reasons why it's important to focus on agency in early grades. And coming from the research, a lot of it says that agency must be a part of all young children's lives to work towards a more just and equitable future, right? That agency is a true part of racial and social justice. And so there's a whole host of research coming out of the Agency and Young Children Research Collaborative that I urge people to look at that really shows that opportunities for agency have not been equitably distributed in our society and making sure that people think about what agency looks like, who has access to it within your system. And so that is an offering for folks to dig in more there.
Yeah. And then I'll just add, Transcend has the honor of going to ASU GSV this year and doing a session with Redbridge and Lindsay Unified School District. It's a repeat of a session we did at Aurora. This time we get to do it in like a big, I don't know, glass bubble, apparently. It's a new building. It's a new structure within the building. So we're excited to be part of that. And if you're going to be there, we encourage you to come by. It's called the Letting Littlest Learners Lead session. And it'll be hopefully very fun and hands-on. And if you can't come, just walk by because you'll be able to see it, apparently.
That sounds like it. I look forward to seeing you both there. I love what you were surfacing there right at the end as well. So often this work of agency is so heavily tied to mindset, not just of the child and their inner talk or their inner voice, but really the adults that are there to support them and how we, whether we recognize it or not, are giving different signals sometimes than what we actually believe in. So I'm glad you raised that piece. Thank you so much for this work that you're both doing. And we know that there's resources that we'll share and there's opportunities to see you in person in the future. Thank you for taking time to join us today.
Thanks for tuning into the Getting Smart podcast today. We want this podcast to be actionable, insightful, and a great way to learn about what's next in learning. In order to stay on the cutting edge, we need people in the field to tell us what they're hearing, what they're wanting, and what they're needing to learn more about. Got a topic or a guest in mind? Send your recommendations to me, Mason at gettingsmart.com. And if you like what you're hearing, don't forget to leave a review in Apple Podcasts or subscribe wherever you listen. Feel free to share the podcast on social media using the hashtag GSPodcasts. Thanks so much.